Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, our text for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson, those two chapters from Luke, the voices of the Passion. Dear friends in Christ, you ever thought about this? For the past 2,000 years, somewhere, or almost 2,000 years, somewhere, somehow, the voice of Jesus is heard over and over again. Jesus' voice is heard over and over, Sunday after Sunday, coming out of the mouths of pastors. There's every Sunday all over the world, somebody is saying, "This is my body which is given for you," one of the pastors. Amazing, kind of, when you think about it, out of the voices, all of Jesus' voice all over the world. But it's true. In many places and many times, for some 2,000 years, somewhere, people have gathered to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Once again, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And keep on doing this in remembrance of me." So now, especially today, on this Palm Sunday, this Sunday of the Passion, from Luke's Passion account, we want to hear the voice of Jesus rising above all of the surrounding noise, the noise of the world, maybe even the noise of our own souls, because in hearing him, we actually receive life and forgiveness. So now, there are many voices in the Passion history, and even down to today, they create a rising din that threatens to drown out the voice of Jesus. There's the voices of opposition there in Luke's account. Judas and the plotters, right? "What will you give me if I turn him over to you?" Then we have the disciples arguing, "I'm the greatest." "No, I am. No, I am. No, you. No, not you. Peter, John, or whoever." You hear the voice of Satan calling to Jesus, telling Jesus, "Give me Peter. You can keep the rest, but give me Peter." Again, Satan saying to Jesus there in the garden, repeating how he tempted Jesus after his baptism, saying, "You don't have to go to the cross. Just listen to me." Judas, once again, "The one I kiss, that's him. That's the guy." Peter, "Woman, I don't know him at all." Voices rising during the Passion. The soldiers, "Prophesy, prophesy, who hit you?" The council, "If you are the Christ, tell us, prove it to us." Even Pilate, Pontius Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Then there's Herod, of course. "Give me a sign, do something, do a magic trick. Don't just stand there, say something." Then we hear the crowd. The crowd that once cried Hosanna, crying, "Crucify, crucify him." And their voices begin to prevail. The rulers, as they walk by the cross, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Christ of God." We hear these voices rising and rising in the Passion account, almost drowning out the voice of Jesus. And there's voices in our time, in our lives. There's the secularist. "He's not really the Christ. Miracles just don't happen." Or the atheist. "How can a good God allow suffering like this? There is no God." The sinner. "My sins are just too great. There is no forgiveness for me." Maybe the fearful believer saying something like, "What if I deny him just like Peter did?" Or the skeptic, "But you know, I don't I come to church, but I don't feel anything at all. Maybe even the hesitant believer, the one that's not sure that they want to believe right away, saying, can this really be for me? Or the faithful prayer, Hosanna, Lord, save us now. One of the thieves who heard it all is moved to turn to Jesus and to say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then rising above the noise of all the competing voices, the voice of Jesus is heard saying, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So in the same way, we also hear the voice of Jesus rising above the din of the whole world and the noise of our own souls. First, in his passion, when Jesus says to his disciples, I am among you as one who serves for you. When Jesus says to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When Jesus is sitting there talking to his disciples, saying, the scripture must be fulfilled in me. He was numbered among the transgressors for you and me. The first time Jesus speaks to the Father here in our account, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, he also says, not my will, but your will be done. All so that we, that you and I can pray with confidence, thy will be done. Knowing that in Jesus, God's will for us is always good. And to those who came for him, Jesus says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus actually went into the darkness for you and for me. Then again, he doesn't even have to say anything to Peter. He just looks at him. And Peter runs away and weeps bitterly. Jesus even answers Pilate in answer to his question, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers, you've said so. And once again, when the crowds cry out, crucify, crucify him, Jesus answers with silence. He doesn't offer any defense, and their voices prevail because Jesus is given over to death for us in our place. And to those who were weeping and crying behind him as he's going to Golgotha, to Calvary, weep not for me, but rather weep for yourselves and your children. The verb that is translated as Jesus said, it's actually talks about a repeating saying. In other words, Jesus didn't say, Father, forgive them once. The suggestion there is that he kept repeating, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because that's what he had come to do. And that's what he was doing right now, bringing forgiveness of sins for you and for me and for the whole world. And his response to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And finally, once again, Jesus speaks to his Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So he begins and ends with the Father because the atonement is now complete. The circle has been completed. And full and free forgiveness is won for you and for me and for the whole world. So even now the voice of Jesus rises above all of the noises in the world. He doesn't explain suffering. He actually overcomes suffering by suffering for us, suffering in our place. And he tells us that no sin is too great. But he does want us to repent and hear his voice, Father, forgive them. And for us, for you, and for me, Jesus says, bring all of your doubts, your fears, bring them here and listen to me. All of this, from beginning to end, is done for you. And it's done because I want you as my own. I've made you mine forever. You are my beloved child. Your sin is forgiven. And then Jesus, to us, to you and me once again, just as I rested in the grave, so will you. And as I came forth from the grave, so will I call you forth, raise you from the dead, and you also will be with me in paradise. And then finally, Jesus says to you and me and to the skeptic, it doesn't depend on your feeling. It depends on my word, my promise. No matter what you feel, the promises of God remain. The promises of Jesus remain. His word will last forever. So just listen for his voice. So once again, we've gathered here on Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion, in the year of our Lord, 2019. We've come again, just as he has commanded us, to hear the voice of Jesus once more. We've come to hear him say, this is my body for you. This is my blood shed for you. Hear that voice, the voice of Jesus, and believe. Whenever you hear that voice, believe. Because the life he gives is for you. In his name, amen and amen. And now,